we trust that God confirms his will for his people through his people, which is why Colin is going to preach in just a minute. You heard him last Sunday, I hope, most of you. Teach in a certain sense, in one type of teaching in Berea. That's a qualification that he's able to teach. And now in a more significant way, you're going to hear him teach in the way of preaching. And so we want you to consider that carefully. We want you to consider that in the way of his qualifications, but, and he's going to say this in a minute, even more so, this is the word of God he's preaching. So listen to him, pay attention to him and how he handles the word. It needs to be done faithfully to the word of God, but more so, more than staring at him, I know what he wants is through him to point you to the greatness of God. So see that as well. With that, let's read Psalm 145 together. I'll read it, you listen. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling, raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, but also hears their cries and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, once again, Grace. I would often ask a question before I would preach. How are we doing this morning? Oh, okay. Grace for kids, in the back. Now that the kids are leaving, how are we really doing? We can be honest now. How are we doing this morning, Grace? Thank you for your honesty. And often, that is the case. We would get these mixed bag of answers. If you ask someone on a particular day how they're doing, you would get a mixed bag of answers. The second question that I'm going to ask, we should get one answer. What do we know? We know that God is good. Amen? Regardless of how we feel, how we are doing, we know one truth stands, and that is God is good and worthy to be praised. My name is Colin Reuter. Most of you know that. My sermon this morning is from a psalm that has continued to be a favorite of mine, a growing favorite of mine, and a growing desire to make my life's aim. Psalm 145. Not just my life, but ministry. I do want to acknowledge an elephant in the room, not the wonderful piano this morning, but the fact that I'm not just filling a pulpit for Pastor Dave this morning. but that you this morning are evaluating and thinking about whether God is calling me to join this church as one of the pastors. I'm also thinking about that this morning. And this is good, and this is a reality, but my prayer has been that God would make clear his word this morning for you, his people, for our good, so that we would fulfill the vision of treasuring Christ and the building of his kingdom. We are hearing this morning from the words of the living God. So, would we have ears to hear and eyes to see his goodness? I would also like to just extend thanks to Pastor Dave and the elders for their time and their prayers and the grace that they have not just shown me and my family, but showered down on my family and I throughout this process. As Dave and I started talking back in April, May, they have been patient and kind and full of prayers and encouragement for me and my family. I also want to thank the members of the search committee. They also have been patient and showing grace. They have prayed for me and my family. They have loved my wife and boys well. I said this in smaller settings, but throughout this whole process, I would say that I have seen much grace at Grace. I am thankful to have walked through this process. So, this morning, as we get to our text, you can open up your Bibles to Psalm 145 if you are not there already. You can use your devices if you so choose as well. But this psalm today is the only one titled as a song of praise from David. Others are listed as maskils, which is a musical or liturgical term. Many are prayers, but this one is a song of praise. To praise God, to speak of who he is and what he has done is just normal for David. This is what he does. David's life was a life of praise. Though he was a sinner, he never turned to idols. He always worshiped the one true God. He was called a man after God's own heart. And in David's life, he looked to God. He was humbled by God and was used by God for his own glory. And David rejoices in this. And it wasn't about him, it was about God. In another psalm, David says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. He holds my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless, I praise the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." God is David's treasure. His counsel and presence is one of great joy for David. David's life was aimed at one thing, God. And there was one thing that David longed for, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Grace Church, my brothers and sisters, I would ask a question again this morning. What is the aim of your life? Not just purpose, but trajectory. What is the direction of your life? Maybe you think of the catechism. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Or maybe you take the modern adjusted version, to glorify God by enjoying him forever, that we are completely satisfied in him. Or maybe you want to make it simple, to treasure Jesus. I would sell everything for him. Is your aim, is your trajectory like David's, to have a life praising God, of making much of him? And not just that, are you praying for and bringing your spouse with you on that aim of making much of the Lord? Are you raising your children to see the glory and beauty of Christ? May it be so for each of us today. My title this morning is that we praise God for who He is and what He does forever and always. I think the main point of David's psalm, the main point of what we should see is that meditating, that is thinking deeply and proclaiming the greatness of God and His works increases our love, awe, and worship of Him for our good and His glory in this life and in the life to come, forever and ever. So before we dive in, would you join me once again in prayer as we ask for God's help? Father, great are You, and Your greatness is unsearchable. We grasp at parts of You, but cannot fully comprehend Your greatness. And how much more great You are in that we have seen and understood and believed in Your Son, Jesus Christ. That apart from Him and the power of Your Spirit, we would not see You for who You are. We would not praise You rightly in worship that You deserve as God. So we are joyfully humbled this morning as we reflect on Your greatness and Your work of salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to rightly praise You. Lord, we ask for Your help this morning. I ask as a dying man preaching to dying men, that we would see You more clearly, that we would praise You for who You are, the one true God. And so, Lord, we trust that You will take Your word this morning and apply it rightly to our hearts and our minds, that we would live Your glory in this world, looking forward to the world to come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. This morning, I would like to look at this passage in three parts. One, praise God for who He is. Two, praise God for what He does. And three, we praise God always. So, point number one, we praise God for who He is. We see in verses 1-3, I think rightly so, before David speaks about what God has done, he worships God first, as God, as Lord, all capital letters, and he worships Him as King. David is direct in his praise. Not this loose sense of praising something out there, but David says, I will extol You. David is personal in his praise. My God. Echoes Psalm 23, my shepherd. And David praises God with a surrendered and humbled heart, my King. All of this was without end, forever and ever. I'm going to praise God today like I did yesterday. I'm going to praise Him tomorrow, and I'm going to praise Him into infinity. Now, it's interesting, the name God is only used once in this psalm. The rest of this psalm, God is addressed as Lord, all caps, and as King. Primarily, He is addressed as Lord, all caps. In our translations, it is Lord, but this speaks to the name of God as Yahweh, the great I Am, that God is who God is. It's how God spoke to Moses. I am who I am. What does it mean? That God is the self-existent, eternal God. He does not need us or anything. God is. And yet, it's more than that. The name of God here is personal. It is used when the people of God are speaking about their God. Hebrews 11 says that God, when sought in true faith, is pleased to be called my God. That's very personal. So amazing is it when we think that God does not need us, but in love, He predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters. That's pretty personal. That God, in love, wanted to save a people for Himself that know Him and that He knows intimately. It doesn't matter what you have been through this week, God knows you. This name also says that God is present. He is here now. God is holy, not just holy, but holy, 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 as we sang this morning. He is set apart, and yet, think in His kindness and love and sovereignty, He is interacting with our world and among us. He does this out of love and grace and to make Himself known so that He would be worshiped. God is under no obligation to remain close to us, and yet He works in our lives. He's writing us into His story, and He's choosing to do so for His glory. In fact, He has used His people to build His kingdom. Christ is going to build the church, but He's using us, which is crazy and awesome. And we can't do it apart from His presence. So the visible church, this gathering this morning, as we are worshiping among other churches who are gathering this morning, God's people exalting His name is a sign of His greatness in which the world is watching. Why the world asks, well, you still go to church? Why do you go to church? God is awesome. But more than that, angels are watching. Paul says that angels are learning about who God is from us. That's amazing. As we are singing to God, angels are watching and learning about who God is. And as we have gathered this morning, God is delighting in this. Our perfect singing and perfect musical playing and perfect prayers and perfect proclamation of His word. No. In our broken singing and out of tune singing and our broken misread prayers, and the foolishness of a man standing before you with His word trying to proclaim it, God delights. And lastly, this name proclaims that God does not change. Our world constantly changes. It constantly shifts. Everything is subjective. And lots of things seem to change day to day. Amen. Like a great day yesterday with my kids, and then today, what happened? That's not the case. My kids have been great yesterday and today. But doesn't it feel that way that the world just, I don't even know what to wake up to every morning? Brothers and sisters, our God does not conform to any of this. He remains constant. He doesn't change who He is, His nature, based on what is new and popular in the moment. He's not concerned about trends. God is God. Yahweh has always been who He is from before the beginning of time. He has always been the standard for absolute perfection and holiness, goodness and beauty. So the Lord is who He is in the past, present, and into eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. That would be enough, would it not? But in God's goodness, He gives us more. David exalts Him as king. So from the King of Israel, comes this profound statement. David is saying, I was a king, but my God is a king forever. He is the king above all other kings. And I'll touch on this a little bit more in the next point of what God does, but we must see in this moment that God is the only true, good, righteous ruler of the world. He is sovereign over all. We even heard that this morning in Berea. So thankful for Matt's teaching. That God can do whatever he sees fit according to his purposes, will, and glory. God is God. He can do whatever he wants. Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. I can't tell God what to do, and then he actually does it. I can go to him humbly, give him the desires of my heart, and then trust that he will work those things out according to his will and for his glory, and ultimately for my good. He can do whatever he wants. This should be a great joy for us, his people. In fact, we should be reminded that Jesus, the Son of God, is seated at the Father's right hand, ruling over all, that the earth is his footstool, that we have a really good king. His name is Jesus. In looking to the Lord, David is in awe of who he is. In awe that he has made himself known to David. And so what David is doing in the psalm is just piling praise upon praise, declaring God's greatness and great worthiness to be praised. We get the feeling that David felt it was dishonorable to withhold any praise to God or to give him even half-hearted praise. Like, yeah, God's okay. No, God is great and greatly to be praised. David is saying, I can't get enough of lifting high the name of my God. I don't grow weary of proclaiming him because he's great. David, in just thinking about the Lord, is in awe. He's just struck down by who God is. And so thinking about who God is, David then shifts and starts to reflect on what God does, because our God is personal and he's doing stuff. So point number two, we praise God for what he does. Verses 4-7 act as a sort of transition for who God is to what he does. David says that every generation praises God, commends his works to one another. It's why the church should have mixed generations. I need elder saints who have been walking with Jesus for a long time through this broken world. But those elders also need the youthful zeal of those who have just started to walk with the Lord. We need one another. We need to commend what God has done to one another. This is a pattern that the Bible speaks of often. These households of faith, that there's parents teaching children about the greatness of God, and then these families come together in communities of God's people praising and sharing the works of God with one another. When we do this in a Sunday morning, we do this in Sunday school, we also act this out at the Lord's table. Look at what God has done. And all of these generations are like chapters within the great story of God. All of us are adding to and speaking to God's character and work for his glory. I just want to exhort you in this moment that you should keep track and share with those around you, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, all that God has done. So if you journal, journal. If you like Google Docs, do it that way. But keep track of all the things that God has done in your life, and then take that and share that with others. Here's how I saw the Lord work today. Share that with your spouse. Sit down with your children and say, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but do you remember what God did in the past? Will he not be faithful again? And as we do this, as we're specific in honoring God for what he's done, this should stir our faith. It should stir up worship to keep seeking after him. And so David says we should declare his mighty works, actually speak them. In this psalm, David is interesting, has no specifics about the work of God. Specifics as far as look at what God has done here. We see this in other psalms that talk about the Exodus or the work of creating or the salvation of God, but this psalm allows us to ponder all the works of God. There are so many that we can't get specific in Psalm 45 because his greatness is unsearchable. And as we think about the great works of God, we must be reminded that God is at work. He is working. I was reminded that a wise pastor once said, God is doing a million things. We are maybe aware of two of them. This last year that me and my family have been navigating the things that God is doing, we were asked by our friends, by family in our church, how we were doing. How's life? Our kind of pocket response was, we're well. Thinking of the hymn, it is well with my soul. I know God, he knows me, I'm well. How's life? Mysterious. Not sure what God is doing, but I know he's at work. And here, we are reminded that the Bible as a whole proclaims that God is sovereign over all things. He is king, as David says. The psalm says he rules with awesome deeds, greatness, with grace, mercy, steadfast love, righteousness, kindness, and that rule is everlasting. This reality is a comfort for us. This is not a complex doctrine to reject or ignore or used as some sort of cold statement to those going through a trial. Well, you know, God's in control. No, this should be like a blanket of peace and warmth, something to give us endurance for the day. We weep with those who weep, yes, trusting that God is in control. And here, David is ensuring that we seek to know God, know him and his works, and think about what we know. Praise does come from emotion, which is dangerous. But our worship comes also from careful thought, from meditation, David says. We think deeply about who God is. We ponder him in our heart. And David not only meditated on the great things God did, his wondrous works, but he also paid specific attention to God's glorious splendor. See this in verses 5 and 12. This idea, this glorious splendor of God is the glory and wonder of who God is. And from this, we focus on the truth of God. How God really is, not how we want him to be, but who he has revealed himself to be. In order to do this, we must go to the Word of God to know God. How do I know that I'm worshiping the one true God? Is because I live in his word. I proclaim him for who he is. I worship him, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. So we do think about God's wondrous works, his works of planning before time began, his works of creation, which are amazing. His works of providence from Genesis into today that he has provided for us, also amazing. His works of rescue throughout the scriptures and human history from slavery and prisons and caves and fires. His work of salvation now and in the age to come. And all of these works should cause us to praise him. In fact, there are too many works of God. Regarding the works of God the Son, Jesus, the Apostle John, said many other things Jesus did. Were every one of them written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So we marvel at God's work because how much more could have been written about what God has done? The universe could not contain all the books of the things that God has done. And we think of God's glorious splendor, His majesty, His wisdom, His constant presence that He never leaves us or forsakes us. His complete knowledge, His unlimited power, His loving and wise plan and purpose, all of these, His glorious splendor should stir in us praise. Look at the Holy Lord who has revealed Himself to us. The Word cries out to us, behold your God. And David, in this psalm, he praises God for His mighty acts and splendor in repetition, but he's using different words, trying to capture God's greatness. But the aim is still the same. Look at God's greatness. Look at His mighty righteous works. David wants us to look to God. David says, I declare your greatness. I'm going to speak of it often. I'm going to speak about it to others, including myself, because I need to preach those things to myself. We speak of God's greatness. After meditating on God and His character, David speaks about God's goodness to all. Yahweh, the Lord, is good to all. David expressed the idea, sometimes called common grace, that God spreads some of His goodness to all of humanity. Jesus Himself said in Matthew, He makes His sun rise on evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. But this morning, God gave breath to wicked people who were going to blaspheme His name. God is good to all. David saw this as beautiful care of God. In everything that God did, in all that God did, this was beautiful, loving care to His creation. In fact, all parts of creation are demonstrations of the greatness and goodness of God. Verse 10, all of your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. Creation itself praises God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And creation does so out of grateful duty. It must proclaim the greatness of its Creator. But David then also shifts and says, God's people, His saints, should gratefully praise and bless the Lord. And we should do this more often than creation. And not just out of duty, but joy. Maybe you're saying, okay, but how do we do that? Is it just singing a song? Like we did that this morning? Well, David says how we should. We as His saints shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. That's how we praise God. We speak to God's kingdom because He's a king. This is a wonderful subject for the speech of God's people. When we sit down over conversation, we speak of the glory of God's kingdom. There are many things that we talk about, but too often we do not speak about the glory of God's kingdom. And this is a year-round endeavor. We do it forever and always. Look at the greatness of God's kingdom. But I also can't help but think about the upcoming election in November. And I just see this as a great opportunity for us to show peace and resolve that we are a part of a kingdom everlasting, and to tell the world that there's room at that kind of table. I'm going to be honest, friends. I'm not worried about November. I got a king on the throne, and I want my neighbor to know that there's room at his table. They don't need to worry about November either, or December, or January. You know where I'm going. And as God's saints, as his people, we should also tell of the Lord's power. This power is good, true, and righteous. It is a power that has poured out grace on the lowly. And as we have received his grace and power, we should be messengers of his grace to others. We are messengers of the gospel of grace. So how do we praise God? We speak about the glory of his kingdom and we talk about God's power. But why? Why do we do that? Pocket response, well, we want to bring God glory. We want to make much of him. Yes, but David again helps us. Why do we do this? To make known to the children of man his mighty deeds and the glorious splendor, there's that word again, of his kingdom. There's an aim behind why we do these things. To proclaim to the world all that God is and who he is. David again sensed this responsibility of God's people to tell the wider world the greatness of what God has done, his mighty acts, and who our king is, the glorious splendor of his kingdom. That's what we get to proclaim. One theologian said this, quote, "As the state cannot teach these holy histories, the people of God must take care to do it themselves. The work must be done for every age, for men have short memories in reference to their God and the doings of his power," end quote. We are forgetful. Amen. I'm not going to say amen to that. I have a great memory. We have to commend God's works to one another. We forget. So many of the Psalms revisit creation, the Exodus, God's character, and we would do well to know these things, remember them, and share them with one another. Really, a part of remembering and sharing is just sharing, showing others the fullness of who the one true God is. You have experienced a part of who God is that I haven't yet, and I need to hear that. And I've seen God work in this last year in ways that maybe you haven't experienced, and you need to hear that. And all of that together causes us to gather together on a Sunday morning and say, you know what, I'm feeling kind of crappy this morning, but God is good. And I'm going to praise him. And this good God, verse 14, upholds all who are falling. Because the Lord is personal and present, his compassion is especially evident toward those who fall and fail. He does not despise or reject them. There is a sense in which he specially draws near them to hold them up with his righteous right hand. And if their fall humbles them, God will draw near and uphold them. He lifts them up and out of despondency because their eyes look to him, verse 15. Now the last part of this psalm is marked by very frequent alls, which occur about 11 times in these last few verses. David seems to delight in the very sound of the word all, which stirs his heart. These infinite visions of the wide sweep of God's universal mercy and of the numberless crowd of dependents who wait and satisfy him. All of God's work, all of creation. There is not one corner of this universe that is apart from the work of God. David delights in this because God gives them food and satisfies the desire of every living thing. And God is doing this righteously and with kindness. As knowledge leads to our worship, we must understand that yes, God does provide for all, but he does not give us everything that we desire. That's not what David is saying, as God is providing for all. Because if God gave us everything that we desired, that would neither be kind nor righteous. Those that are humble put their expectation on God. They're looking to Him for their needs. They pray, give me today my bread. And then God answers their prayer in due season. And thinking of food, right? We, as people in general, but I think especially as God's people, there's something beautiful about gathering around food. The picnic last week, amazing. The meat, delicious. We got a tray that was gone in like 36 hours. Just leftover meat didn't exist. So good. But I can't help but think, as we sit down as a family over a meal, we pray. We thank my wife for cooking our meals. But we also thank God for providing the food and creating these delicious flavors that we get to enjoy. This is normal. Should be normal. I'm very thankful for a wife who likes to cook. Because otherwise we'd be doing a lot of mac and cheese and toast, like hot dogs. I'm not a great cook. But underneath that, above that, God is the one who put food on my table. It's not my job, it's not my paycheck. It's not whatever grocery store you go to. God did that. Give Him thanks. And because this is normal, it occurs even when we have guests at our house, whether they're believers or not, because we are called to declare His greatness. And David goes beyond humankind. God's care extends to all of creation beyond just providing for us. As Jesus would say later, God cares for the birds and the grass of the field. In verse 16, God does this with a wonderfully open hand and heart to His creation. God cares about His creation. So as we take in David's amazing description of God, we see how different Yahweh is, the true and living God, compared to the idols of the other nations throughout history. Those gods were often angry and grumpy. They reflected sinful humans. They cared little for either humanity or creation. So we should be, the world should be pleasantly surprised and grateful for the love and care from the true God who is truly there for us every day. I would ask in this moment as well, when was the last time you just slowed yourself down, sat, and meditated on the character of God? Who is God? Not in the general sense that I think sometimes the world uses, right? I believe in God. Tell me about that God. It's nothing like the God of the Bible. God is this kind of safe, vague term for deity. And so maybe helpful to say the character of Christ, so that we know God the Father, we know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Reflect on His kindness to you in your life. Today, I think, would be a great day, on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, to take some time alone with your family or a friend and reflect on God's kindness to you, because today He has been very kind to you. And so we praise God for who He is. He's God. We praise Him. Even if He didn't do anything in my life, because I know Him as God, I praise Him. But He also has increasingly done things in my life and in your life. So we praise Him because of that. And now our last point. We praise God forever. Now before we look at this verse, David has eluded... Right, this is the last verse in our psalm. David has alluded to this idea that we praise God always and forever. In verse 1, David calls God king. In the middle of this psalm, verse 13, David says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." One reason why we praise God forever is because His kingdom doesn't end. His throne is eternal. His dominion is unending, lasting through all generations. We go to the end of the story. Revelation 5, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might. How long? Forever and ever. Revelation 7, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might. How long? Forever and ever. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be to our God forever and ever. Amen. May it be so. But now verse 21. David ends this song by saying, my mouth will speak the praise of Yahweh, and let all flesh bless, praise his holy name forever and ever. So as we've seen this phrase, not just in this psalm, but throughout the Bible, it should draw our attention to the eternity of eternity, the foreverness of it. And I love how David bookends this passage about praising God with, it's going to be forever and ever. Another way to translate this phrase is from infinity to infinity. It just hits a little differently. Infinity is a really long time, friends. How long? Like infinite. I grasp that. I can't. From the day, though, that we have breath until we enter into our Master's joy and glory, we praise Him and we keep on praising Him. I hope we have noticed. I haven't really touched on this specifically. But while there's not details of the works of God, there's also not details in when we should praise God. David isn't giving us a category to say, okay, now is a good time to praise God or not praise God. We do so always, regardless of circumstance. That means trials or triumph, weariness or strength, whether we are prospering or lacking. God is great and greatly to be praised. We praise Him in the morning for the breath in our lungs, new mercies for the day, and coffee in our mugs. We praise Him in the middle of the day for the grace to continue to teach our children, to work alongside a difficult coworker, the ability to read His Word even if for a moment, and for continued coffee in our mugs. And in the evening, we praise Him for His guidance, for His provision, for His sufficient grace and watchful eye as we think back on that day and as we start thinking about tomorrow. We lay down at night on the pillow of His sovereignty, knowing that God is for us, therefore no one can be against us. Spent the last couple days with your elders at a conference up in the cities. Sorry, down in the cities. We're up. And one of the speakers said he loves the Apostle Paul. Loves the Apostle Paul. I do as well. I love David. David is just stubborn and righteously so. Stubborn to exalt the name of God, that nothing else in this life is worth anything except boasting in the Lord. May we join him and other brothers and sisters in the faith to make that our aim into glory. Because our praising of God will continue there in perfection and glorious awe forever. This is just practice for glory. I'm going to close my often question in thinking of what I've just read and contemplated on is, so what? A wiser theologian said, how then should we live? I'm not there yet, so what? This psalm calls us to praise God for who He is and what He has done. Okay, so what? In every circumstance, we as his people are called to worship the one true God. It calls us to remind one another of his character and works in the world and in our lives. I want to circle back to a couple verses in the psalm for closing. In verses 17 to 20, David speaks of God's ways and his works. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. In all of who God is and what he has done, majestic and mighty as he is, and all of his works are, these verses just stir in my heart the greatest work of God. Redemption of sinners through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. A loving, compassionate God who saves, who lifts us up, that he is near to all who call on him in truth. That is knowledge, to know him. For those who fear him, who have this reverent awe of who he is, God fulfills their desires. And this reverent awe is the beginning of wisdom. Because our desires, when we are grounded in the truth of who God is, when we are in reverent awe of who he is, our desires start to align with his desires. The desires of our heart are no longer sinful, but glorious. Because we have a brand new heart in him. That God hears our cries and saves us. And lastly, that God will preserve all who love him. Because we only love him because he loved us first. So because of that, because God will preserve us, he's going to bring us home. He's going to bring you home. I think back of last week and Pastor Dave's sermon, that God will keep us faithful to himself. He will give us perseverance. He will preserve us as his people. I don't cling to Jesus. He holds me fast. And in the same wonderful verse, there is a warning that God will destroy the wicked, those who rebel against him and reject the gospel. So, for my brothers and sisters this morning, you're in Christ. You are abiding in him. You are being saved. You are being conformed more into the image of his Son. Praise him today. Look to his kindness in your life, and tomorrow praise him and look at the kindness in your life, and do that day after day after day with one another into eternity, where we will do it forever and always. And if you are here this morning and you are not sure if you are in Christ, I want you to hear the invitation. Not the fear of being destroyed, but hear the invitation of this great God, that he will hear your cry for mercy. That today is the day of salvation, that all you long for are found in him. And so come humbly to him by faith. Repent, that is, cry out for mercy and grace, and then find true life in Jesus Christ. Where life is found. So, Grace Church, God's grace abounds through our hearts to praise him. We were able to sing this morning because of God's grace to us. Not just for what he has done in our lives, but simply because he is God. There is none other like him, and he is worthy of all praise. And the life of the child of God, like David, is one of grateful praise to him and proclaiming his mighty works. So today, we've gathered on his day, the Lord's day, as his people, to praise him. And if we really just stop and think, we have a lot to praise God for. Amen. Even in your broken body, broken life, look at the kindness of God that he has poured out through his son, Jesus Christ, in your life. That you know him, and I think more profound, that he knows you intimately. Works that he has done in your life for your good and for his utmost glory. And so let's keep proclaiming him and his mighty works to one another and to the watching world until he comes, because you know what? He's coming soon. Amen.